I truly believe that inquiry-based teaching gives you a new lease of life. It makes teaching fun again, not just for our students, but for us too. And it puts the joy and excitement back into your day. Now you might be thinking, well, that's all great. Or you might be inspired to give it a go and integrate it into your teaching. So you sit down and you want to make your plans and you're thinking, okay, now how the heck do I do this? Where do I start? Well, that's what today's episode is all about. How to plan for and integrate inquiry into your existing lessons. Hello and welcome to Blooming Curious, a podcast that's all about nurturing that natural curiosity in our early years kids and students. I'm Edwina, your host from the Ed's Lessons blog, a passionate advocate for play and inquiry, and on a mission to keep children curious and questioning. The days of talk and chalk are over. We're diving into the world of integrated, inquiry, and nature-based learning, and exploring the strategies that create lifelong learners. So if you're a classroom or homeschool educator, or even a curious parent, then this is the place for you. Last week, I spoke about the benefits to having both explicit instruction and inquiry-based learning as part of a teacher's everyday repertoire. I received some great feedback after the episode aired, and I especially want to thank Charlie at Hands-On Learning Design on Instagram for your positive and inspiring message, which really just reinforces to me that this podcast is worth doing. So thanks so much, Charlie. I so appreciated you getting in touch with me and leaving that fabulous feedback for me. So today I want to talk to those educators that are indeed curious, that really want to make a positive impact on children's lives and also want to impact their own lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that gets bored quite easily. I need a challenge in my life. And when things are easy or monotonous, I lose interest. And teaching can get easy and monotonous and boring too. If you're doing the same things day in and day out or year in and year out, that will eventually not only kill off any spark of joy for learning that children have, but your own joy for that job as well. It will make you boring, and none of us want to be boring, and it will just suck the life out of you. So your working life makes up so much of your time, so why not enjoy it, right? But now I know that there is this huge issue with teaching that's causing so many teachers just to pack their bags and leave. And that's, of course, the poor behavior and the disrespect that we see from so many children nowadays. And that's a whole other can of worms that we can unpack at another time. But when it comes to inquiry-based learning, I truly believe that it gives you a new lease of life. It makes teaching fun again, not just for our students, but for us too. It puts joy and excitement back into your day. And there are actually a whole bunch of nuances and tweaks that you make to the process of inquiry that suit your individual situation and the different types of learners you might have. Now, I could talk about that for days. Inquiry-based learning is a powerful strategy, and it makes learning fun, even for those neurodiverse learners or those that usually are not interested. And even your gifted and talented learners, they even appreciate inquiry. It's the hook that gets kids interested. When I think back to one particularly challenging year I had with a class that had so many different needs, and quite honestly, if it wasn't for inquiry, then I don't know how I would have made it, because inquiry got me through that year. It was that thing that flicked the switch for some of the kids that year that I would otherwise have lost if I solely relied on worksheets and pencil and paper to check for understanding. So you could be thinking, oh, that's all great. I've had a PD about the benefits of inquiry, or maybe you're now inspired to give it a go and integrate it into your teaching. And so you sit down and you want to make your plans and you're thinking, okay, now how the heck do I do this? Where do I start? And here's the good news, guys. I've just created a free planning template for you that you can use to plan an integrated unit of inquiry. You go to resources.edslessons.com/integrating inquiry planning sheet. I know it's a mouthful, that's why I'm going to leave a link in the show notes so you can get it there. An inquiry is about a mindset. It's not a separate subject that you have to squeeze into your already overcrowded timetable. It's a teaching in a different way. And as I said in last week's episode, it's not about throwing out your explicit instruction. You keep that in. In fact, you teach the process of inquiry explicitly so kids know what they have to do. You don't just throw them in the deep end and say, off you go, inquire. It doesn't work like that. And that's the exact kind of thing that gives inquiry a bad rap. But what that template will do is it will give you some guidance to think about when you're starting with inquiry. So think about which two subject areas you can integrate. And of course, English goes with everything, right? So let's just say that this term, you're going to cover how living things grow and change in science. And of course, in Australia, this is not the best time to do that. If you're looking at animals, spring's the best for that. So if you're in America, now's a great time to put that to work. So you guys just go for it. But if you're integrating growth and change of kids, for example, which you should integrate, by the way, and include the whole year long, that could be a whole year long project, where kids will be documenting their own or perhaps a baby sibling's change. But so now you've decided this is what you're going to do. You're going to integrate inquiry into this unit. So now the planning sheet will ask you to think about what you want your students to achieve in this study or this unit or this concept, whatever it might be that you decide you're going to use to just dip your toes in and get going. So you can already see that when you're involved with inquiry, you have to exercise your own thinking and your own curiosity too. And isn't that more exciting to be thinking and wondering instead of just giving kids the same old worksheet just to tick a box and say, okay, I've done that? The template will also ask you to think about what provocations you're going to include. So now you want to gather your pictures, your books, your website links, your plants, soil, gardening tools, seeds, critters, whatever it is that you'll need to spark curiosity and wonder in these kids. And of course, how are you going to document their prior knowledge and their first understandings when you introduce this concept? This is what Kath Murdoch in her inquiry cycle calls the tuning in phase. And the template is going to ask you to consider how you're going to ask students to demonstrate their understanding and also to demonstrate the understanding, which is the final product. So let's say you want them to write a report or a nonfiction text. You're going to do an inquiry into what makes a good report. You'll be asking questions. You'll be giving them examples. You'll be getting them perhaps in small groups to look at elements of a good report. Can you see how you're bringing inquiry into English? And now as you're practicing report writing and you're explicitly teaching them about report writing, perhaps you're also demonstrating it using a particular animal, which will then, of course, link to signs. You'll be teaching this one step at a time. So perhaps you're teaching them about first asking good questions or coming up with subheadings, or perhaps you're already at the stage of writing the first introductory paragraph. So in the true spirit of explicit instruction, you'll demonstrate first how to do that explicitly. And then on many whiteboards or scrap paper, they'll have a go at a sentence, for example, and then they'll go off and work on their own project with the animal or the plant or whatever of their own choice. And they write their own introductory sentence, or they plan their subheadings, or whatever that day's task is that you've set. So by integrating your English and your science in this way, you can see how you're ticking off the science curriculum in your English lessons. They're not separate blocks in your timetable. They mesh together. And as you become more proficient and you feel more comfortable with inquiry, asking open-ended questions will become part of your everyday teaching. And before you know it, everything becomes an inquiry. And also just know that there are lots of different ways to test for understanding. It doesn't always have to be a written report. You can even give kids a choice. So some might want to write the report. Others may want to deliver a speech. So that means you'll need to explicitly teach them how to deliver a great oral presentation and what's needed to deliver a great oral presentation. And that might even be a whole inquiry unit. How do we deliver great oral presentations? What do we include? What do we do? Or perhaps they want to create a model and then explain it using video. Don't you think this makes teaching and learning so much more interesting? The template will also give you, or guide you rather, to think about how you'll display or make students' ongoing learning visible. You might want to create a learning wall. That's something that Jessica Vance does. And so you can follow her on Instagram, Jessica Vance. I'll link to her in the show notes. She does a great job about showing you how to use learning walls as sort of living, breathing documentation as you go along an inquiry journey or process. Or perhaps you want to go deep and you want to use a floor book, not only to capture children's wanderings, but you want to use it as a planning tool to see where you can take their learning next. And by the way, I recently interviewed Dr. Claire Warden, the inventor of the floor book approach. So make sure you subscribe and follow the show so that you don't miss out on that very insightful episode when it publishes. Now, this template that I created for you is really a guide to help you think about the elements to bring in when you're integrating inquiry into a topic or a concept. So go to the show notes when you're finished listening and download it from there. Now, I also wrote a blog post ages ago that takes you through a step-by-step process of integrating and starting inquiry, and I'll link to that post in the show notes too, so you can check that out, because that will also give you a really good idea how you can go about getting started with inquiry. And I want to remind you that inquiry, of course, is not a subject. It's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. And it's a way of thinking and teaching. But I realize that when you're new and you've never really asked deep questions or invited children to explore or think about a concept critically, this can be quite tricky. And actually coming up with really good, open-ended, essential questions is really something quite tricky. And it takes time to learn. But so what I want to recommend you do is, just to get started, link it purposefully to a topic you know, and then just take it step by step. I think the big thing here is that you need to come to terms with the fact and be okay with the fact that things are going to be messy in the beginning. And that's okay. You know what they say? You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. Like every well-run classroom, just before you start, take the time to explain and make your intentions clear, what you expect and what you want to see from your students. If they are clear, here's that explicit instruction again, about what they need to do, it makes life so much easier. Take the time to explain and model. Be prepared with all the resources and equipment you need. And be honest also with your students. Tell them what you're trying to achieve and what you're trying to do. And give them the steps that they need to get there. And so together, you go on this new learning journey and you give feedback and they give feedback. And before you know it, you're the best thing since sliced bread. And those kids that used to stand at the door like salt pillars, they'll be skipping in there with smiles and their dials. And trust me, and trust yourself, it will happen. Now, before I go, I want to let you know that if you haven't subscribed to my weekly newsletter, where I share all sorts of tips and strategies and other juicy stuff, be sure to go to edslessons.com. And by the way, I'm going through a rebranding exercise, and soon there won't be an Ed's Lessons anymore. They'll just be Blooming Curious. But sign up there to get the newsletter, because if you're on my mailing list, I offer my subscribers recently a free one-on-one coaching session. So if that's something you would appreciate as you get started on your inquiry journey and you'd like help with inquiry, sign up for the newsletter and then let me know you're interested and we'll set up a coaching session and get you started. How's that sound? Okay, so I hope you're inspired and ready to tackle the coming weeks with renewed vigor and energy. And I really want to know how you're getting on with adopting an inquiry mindset and inquiry-based learning into your practice. So seriously, let me know either by sending me a DM on Instagram or send me an email at contact@edslessons.com. I'll put it in the show notes. Don't forget to get your free planning sheet by clicking on the link in the show notes. And if you like this show, and why wouldn't you, show your love by following, sharing it with everyone you know, and of course, leave me a great review, which will always put a smile on my dial. So until next week, same time, same place, stay blooming curious, won't you?